listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
How many of you at some point this week have experienced stress? That's what I thought. Stress is a normal part of what we are, normal part of what we do, a normal part of life. You cannot escape stress. It doesn't matter how well off financially you are. It doesn't matter how many great relationships you have in your life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. At some point in your life, you are going to experience stress. And normally, every day, you're going to experience some kind of stress. Amen? It doesn't matter where it's from, what it's about. It can be from your kids. Kids can be a blessing, but they can be the biggest stressor in your life. Amen? It doesn't matter if they're this big or if they're this big, you can still want to kill them before they kill you. Anyway, but I want to talk to you guys about stress today. There's a lot of stressful situations, and you know, your mind kind of plays tricks on you when you get into stressful situations or what you perceive may be a stressful situation. Have you ever had that time where you feel like you've already played out the entire situation in your head before it ever starts, and you've come to the conclusion that your life is going to be in shambles after the next 30 minutes of your life? And then you walk into the situation and you go, oh, never mind, I'm good. You know, that's just how life is. I remember this one time I called my wife from work. This wasn't too long ago. I called her. She was at home with the kids, and she works part-time. This is one of the days that she was at home, and I called her to ask her a question, and she didn't answer the phone. Okay, I've got the car, so, you know, obviously something, she's got to be there. So she doesn't answer the phone, and I'm like, okay, no big deal. There's plenty of times that people don't answer the phone. Well, about 2 or 3 minutes later, I call again. She doesn't answer the phone. 2, 3, 4 minutes later, I call her again. She doesn't answer the phone. I start texting, hey, trying to call you. No answer. And it just goes on and on. For probably 30 minutes, I'm calling, texting, freaking out, finally going, man, my wife's had a heart attack. Something's happening. She's like laying in the floor in blood. Somebody's broken in my house. She's probably like, you know, stabbed in the bed or something. Something crazy is going on. You know, have you ever done this? I mean, this is where your mind goes. Especially, I can imagine, you know, my kids are small. I've got a 10-year-old, that's my oldest child, but I can imagine, especially like, you know, when a kid misses curfew, when they're driving or something like that, you haven't heard from them, and you're freaking out and going crazy, and your mind goes to the worst possible solution, right? That's what happens in our life. Our minds, when we start to experience stress is the devil's playground. It is the breeding ground for doubt, for faithlessness, for all the things in our life that allows the devil to pull us down to where he wants us. Amen? Man, I remember this one time I broke curfew. I fell asleep at my now wife's house. We were watching a movie. And let me get that out of the way. We weren't doing anything wrong. We were just sitting at her house watching a movie. And I was supposed to be home for curfew. And I fell asleep and woke up like 2 hours late. And I was like, oh, crud. And so I jumped in the car. I flew across town. And I just knew my parents were going to be having a cow. They were going to kill me. I walked in the door. Them jokers are asleep in the bed. Didn't even know I was late. So I went back over to my girlfriend's house. Not really. I didn't. That's awful. Don't ever do that. I was joking. Anyway, so stress is a bad thing. Stress is something that we're going to experience. But for us to be able to get through stress, we have to learn how to deal with it in a way that allows us as Christians not only to get through it, but to grow through it. Amen? Because this Christian life is not about getting through. It's about growing through. You follow what I'm saying here? It's not about just getting through. It's about growing through. Every situation that comes to us in our life gives us another opportunity to go farther with Christ, to get deeper in the Word, to go farther than we've ever been, and to do more than we've ever done with Jesus Christ. It's all in perception, how we look at the situations that we deal with in our life. And I want to take a lot out of Daniel 3 today, which is a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we all know this story, probably, but let me just refresh your mind if you don't know the story or if you're kind of new to church or whatever. Let me just give you a basis. We're not going to read the whole chapter. It's kind of a long chapter, but let me just give you a basis. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are living in I think it's Babylon, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, but they're living there with King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar builds this huge idol. This thing was like 90 feet tall. And he says, he gives this decree, and he tells everybody, now look, when you hear the guitars and the harps and the lyres and the trumpets and everything, all this stuff, when everything starts playing, you have to bow down and worship this idol, which, as it happens, looks exactly like me, okay? This is what King Nebuchadnezzar was saying. You have to worship basically me, this huge idol, when the music starts to play. You bow down, and if you don't, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace and killed. So those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrews, and of course they serve Yahweh, they serve Jehovah, and so they know that there's only one true God, there's only one God, and King Nebuchadnezzar ain't it. And so they have to make a decision in that moment. Are they going to stand for what they believe in this stressful situation, or are they going to bow their knee and ask for forgiveness later? And a lot of us face that kind of situation in our life every single day. Are we going to bow our knee to whatever this world throws at us and just ask God for forgiveness later? Or are we going to stand firm in these stressful situations, in these stressful times, and rely on God to get us through it? See, that's the thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with that day all those years ago. And see, the question is, what are we going to do? And they made the right decision. They stood firm. They did what they were supposed to do. They didn't bow. And we're going to get into later everything that happened. But that's where we're going to kind of take a lot of our stuff from today, is their situation. Now, there's a few things before we get into how to deal with stress. There's one thing that we have to establish before we establish anything else. And that is this: God's character. You have to know the character of God, guys. If you don't know the character of God, if you're not sure who God is, then you cannot be sure about the person that you're relying on to let you grow through stressful situations. If you don't know who God is, then you can't rely on God fully. Get that? Okay, so this is where we go from here. The first thing is this: God is always, always looking out for our good, according to Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Right there, red letters, not red letters, but on my paper it's red letters, not in yours, but in my, right there, it says, and all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Not all good things. I know we've heard this preached a million times, but we have to establish this today if we're going to go any further. All things in your life work together for the good of those that love the Lord. So if you love the Lord, and if you're trying to follow the calling that he's placed on your life, then everything that's happening to you right now, good or bad, is going to be working for your good. Whether you see it now or whether you don't see it now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Good, bad, indifferent. It's working together for your good. If you know the character of God, you can believe that. No matter what, we have to know that God is good and God is holy. No matter what, period. God is good, God is holy. No matter what, period. See, God's character doesn't change depending on your circumstance. God's goodness doesn't change because you have a bad day. And God forbid, God's goodness doesn't change because your child dies or your spouse leaves you. God is still holy. God is still sovereign. God still stands as the only good thing that is constant in this world. In Revelation, the angel said it. It must have been so important because they say it three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God, no matter what, is holy, period. If we can get that, then we can move forward when we deal with our stressful situations. See, if we don't know God's character, we can't have faith that God's going to get us through. Because, see, if you rely on a pastor, or you rely on a husband, or a wife, or a child, or a friend, see, they're not inherently good. Do you realize that? We're not inherently good. We were born in sin. When Adam sinned, the human race fell. We do not have a Savior. We do not have a hope. unless we have Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross for us over 2,000 years ago. Guys, we do not have good inside of us. So when we rely on someone else, when we rely on a human being to get us through a stressful situation, we are relying on something that is not going to work out. Understand that. God is good and holy no matter what, period. See, anyone can say that God is holy when everything's going their way. But it's when things change that test us. If we base the goodness and holiness and omniscience of God on our circumstances and on how our day is going, then we're basing our faith on us rather than on him. Get that. Get that. The second that you start saying when you hit a stressful situation, see, truth can't change because of your circumstance. Truth can't change because of your circumstance. You can't believe one thing your whole life and know it to your core and have Josh McDowell, he talks about having going beyond belief to convictions. You can't be convicted about something. You can't believe something so deeply. And then when that thing that you believe affects your life personally, it cannot change. Because when things change because of your circumstances, you're no longer basing your faith and your everything you believe on God. You're basing it on yourself. And see, I'm nothing to base a religion on. I'm nothing to base my future on. You're nothing to base your own future on. It has to be on God. It has to be on God. So we have to believe that no matter what, God is good and God is holy. I remember a while back, this was way before we ever came here. I was still in college at Southeastern. And I know we got some SAGU folks up in here. Lakeland, baby. No, I'm joking. We went to, but I was in college. My son Zach, he's 10 now. We were, he was born in October, so he was not quite 2 months old. We'd just gotten a Toyota Corolla, and we drove up to Montgomery, which is where my wife and I are from Lakeland, which is about an 8-hour drive, 8 or 9-hour drive, something like that. And for those of you that don't know, I used to be a balloon artist in Orlando. I can make some pretty rocking balloon animals. I'm just saying right now, If you ever went to Disney World in the time period of about 2002 to 2004, you may have seen me doing some balloons. Anyway, so I was a balloon artist, and my wife and I, we drove up to Montgomery at Christmas, and my wife's mom is a kindergarten teacher, or she was then, and she wanted me to come to her class's Christmas party and make balloon animals for him. Well, like I said, Zach was like 2 months old. We got up that morning, and now we're a one-car family at this time. We still are, but if anybody would like to bless me and become a two-car family, that would be awesome. But we got in the Corolla, we loaded up, we went over to my wife's school, and I realized that I'd forgotten my balloons. And so I told Kisa, I said, look, just get Zach, go ahead and go in, and I'll run back to the house real quick, and I'll get my balloons, and I'll come back and meet you. So she did, she got out, and I was going back to my house, and I turned, going onto a road, and it was a huge glare on my windshield, and so when I turned, the glare kind of shifted, and I saw this huge Cadillac DeVille about 45, 50 miles an hour and just T-boned me, I mean, as hard as it could. It spun me around 3 times in the middle of the road, totaled my car, ended up in a little ditch off the side of the road, and that car hit right on the side where Kisa would have been and where that baby carrier was. And at that time, like I said, I was working in Lakeland, and I drove 45 minutes to work 5 days a week to Orlando. And that was the only car we had. And I was a college student. And it totaled my car. I was 9 hours away from home. And at that moment, my wrist was killing me. It was hurting me really bad. And that's how I made my money, obviously. Ta-da. And so immediately, all these thoughts start going through my head, right? You're going, how am I going to get back home? This is the only car we have. How am I going to work? What if my insurance, because I had a few accidents leading up to that in the years before that, and I was thinking, what if my insurance gets canceled? What if I can't drive? What if? And my dad, he came by and picked me up and was taking me to the hospital to get my hand checked out, and I was in the car, and I was just freaking out. He was like, Shane, you need to calm down. This just happened. You don't know that any of this stuff is going to happen. Just calm down. And long story short, there was a man in my dad's church that was a car dealer, and my wrist was just sprained, so I had to have it in a little thing for a little while, but not bad after that hurt my work. But completely freaking out. There was a guy in my dad's church that was a car dealer. And he asked us to come in, look at some stuff that he had. And he was able to get us a bigger car for less car payments. My insurance took care of everything that I owed on the Corolla, plus $700. And the tax on the car that I got in Montgomery was $697. So I paid nothing out of pocket. And I got a bigger car, a newer car, and lower car payments. And was able to get back home, continue work, and everything else. Let me tell you something. In that moment, I thought my life was about to be over. I thought everything was falling apart. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just lost my car. I just lost my health in my hand, being able to work. I was scared I was going to lose my insurance. And within 2 days, everything was fixed better than what it was in the first place. And it was like God was saying to me, look, trust me in the hard times. Trust me in the times where you don't understand. And everything's going to be okay. Just trust me. You know, one of the biggest questions we get is why do bad things happen to good people? We can't answer that. This is life. We live in a fallen world. But what we can say is, I don't know, but I can tell you that my God is good and my God is holy. And if we'll just stay firm, things are going to get better. Things are going to look up. It doesn't matter how bad it looks right now. Things are going to look up. See, we have to know that God is holy no matter what. God is going to take things from you that you think are great in your life, because you don't understand the enormity of what it is that he's taking from you. I heard a preacher named Perry Noble. He was talking about this subject one time, and he said came around the corner into his kitchen one day, and his daughter, little daughter, was playing with something on the floor, and he looked closer, and she was playing with a scorpion, like for real, like a scorpion in the middle of the floor playing with it, and of course he freaks out, and she's like already named it. And she, I don't know, he said she names everything. So he freaks out, and he like jerks her up with one arm and just, you know, with authority, just, you know, crushing. There's nothing left, you know. And of course, the daughter is screaming and crying because he just killed her new friend. Well, the thing is, this is what you have to understand. Perry knew better than little Karis did at that moment what was safe for her. What Karis was playing with could eventually kill her. But she didn't see that danger. All she saw was she made a new little friend that was fun to play with. She'd never seen anything like it. She was having fun with it. She had named it. But then Dad came in and saw the real danger behind what she had found that was fun. She didn't see anything bad with it. But Dad jerked her up, killed that thing, and then had to deal with the consequences of her saying, "You killed my friend. Why would you do this?" God is the same way. God knows better than we do what's good for us. Just because we think something is okay and something is good for us, maybe it's not sinful. Maybe it's something that we're dealing with is not a bad thing per se. But God knows better than we do. God sees more than we do. We have to trust that the father heart of God is better than the father heart of man. 2 Samuel 23, verses 9 through 12 says, oh, I'm sorry, no, I was 1-4. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him for them?" The father heart of God is where it's at. Okay, so if we've established in stressful situations, we got to remember God is good, God is holy, no matter what. Period. That's it. If we know that, then we can start looking through, getting through tough situations. There's two things I want to talk to you about. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. God gives you people in your life to help you walk through this. You guys have got to learn, I've got to learn, that we don't have to deal with stressful situations alone. Let me tell you something. You know, the biggest thing that's the roadblock that most people hit when they're dealing with stressful situations is pride. Because you don't want to bare your soul to someone for them to think that you're not quite as good as maybe they thought you were. Pride holds us back so many times when it comes to helping, to having letting people in and letting people help you and letting people see who you really are, what's really going on. I can promise you, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I've got my flaws. Pastor Gabriel has his flaws. Pastor Mike has his flaws. Pastor Marcus, Pastor Dennis, every single one of us on staff, we're not on staff because we've got this whole Christian thing figured out. We're on staff because God's called us to be here. Let me tell you something. Me and Pastor Marcus and Pastor Gabriel, we get together just about every week and talk about our shortcomings and help each other through them because we figured out that this life is not about running alone. It's better when you have someone to say, bro, this is what I'm dealing with. This is the stress that I'm going through. I need you to help me through this. Keep me accountable. Tell me what's going on. Ask me how I'm doing. I'm letting you into my life. We don't run this alone. Kim, I want to show you guys a video real quick. Kim, can you play that first one there? And I want you guys to watch this. Some of you might have seen this before. This is a place, I believe it's in Africa, if I'm not mistaken. It's a place called Kruger. And watch, you got the lions chasing down these buffalo, right? And which one do you think they're going to go for? Yeah, the baby. I love nature shows, by the way. My kid loves them. I like to watch them with him. Anyway, so these lions have attacked this baby buffalo here. And it's kind of sad, really. Well, it's kind of out of focus. Let me see how I fix that. That was driving Dennis crazy. There we go. Maybe. But if you watch for a second, I want you to see what happens here. These lions, they've just taken this buffalo down, right? Now, the one thing that got edited out is while they're fighting that buffalo in the water, a crocodile comes up and grabs the baby buffalo, and they're tugging back and forth. Finally, the lions win the tug of war, and they've got this baby buffalo here. But I want you just to watch for just a second. I'm just saying, kingdom of God, anybody? Okay, so the lions have attacked the baby buffalo, right? And the mom and the dead buffalo, they run away. Well, then they come back with their friends. Lions are still there, kind of, you know, figuring out what's going on. And the buffalo start, okay, let's do this thing. Just want you to see what happens here. And come on, here we go. Yeah, there we go. Here's the deal, guys. This is what I want you to get. We don't make it through this life alone. Understand this. There's going to be times that you're going to get taken down. There's going to be times that the enemy is going to send his little minions after you. Little things are going to happen in your life. That you're going to get tackled, you're going to get chewed on, you're going to get tore at, you're going to get just hurt, really, emotionally, maybe even physically, all this stuff. But the thing is, you have to know that people are around you that love you enough to fight a lion for you. Now watch. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I love that. All right, but here's the best part. Watch this. You see him? The baby's not dead. Lions are still trying to hold on to him. But they can't. All right, you can turn it off. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. You got to remember. Just look around for a second. I just want you to look around. Everybody just look around. Here's your herd. I mean, as stupid as that sounds, here's your herd. I'm telling you right now, there's people in here right now. There are people sitting in these seats probably beside you that you don't even know what they're dealing with, that feel like they're on the bottom of that pile of lions right now. They're being torn up, they're being bitten on, they're being chewed on because the devil has found a way to get to them, to get them away from the herd and pull them down. Let me tell you something right now. You better be willing to go back for those that have fallen. The church, man, there's so many times that we kick people when they're down. We want to talk about people. We want to do all this stuff. But let me tell you something. There's going to be a moment when you're wanting to talk about that person, you better think back to those times where you were the person on the ground. You better think about the times that are going to be coming in your future where you will be the person on the ground. I promise you, there are times in your life that you're going to need someone to fight some lions off for you. There's going to be some times in your life where you're going to need to fight some lions off of other people. Let me tell you something, church. It's time that we become lion fighters in this place. It's time we stop allowing our people to walk through these stressful situations in life alone and just act like everything's okay and like nothing happens bad in the church. Let me tell you something, church. It can get worse in here than it can get out there. These walls do not encapsulate us. They don't insulate us from this world. We still deal with the same junk every single day that they deal with out there. But we have people that can deal with it with us. We have a God who is good and who is holy that can get us through these things. The problem is we've got to remember that we do not run this race alone. We don't fight alone. We run this race with other people. And if we cannot learn to let people into our lives and stop saying, oh, I'm good, every time someone says, how you doing? Let me tell you something. If we can't learn to be honest, then we're never going to be able to get through the things that we go through. See, it wasn't just Shadrach that was trying to deal with it. It wasn't just Meshach. It wasn't just Abednego. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I can promise you, those guys got together and said, bro, I'm not going to bow if you don't bow. Bro, let's just make a pact right now that we're going to get through this thing together. Look, I'll help you, you help me, and you help him, and we're going to do this thing. It doesn't matter what the king does, because we can do it together. See, it's a lot easier to do something that's hard when you've got somebody pushing you to do it. Think about working out. Let me just tell you, it is not easy, all right? But it goes so much better when you've got someone pushing you to get out of bed, get your tail to the gym, and get on a treadmill. Than when you just try to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to your living room and do it. It's not easy. Remember, when you have someone that can help you, when you have other people around you that can help you get through stuff, it makes it so much easier to get through it. See, this is what the word tells us. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Matthew 28, 20 says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Philippians 4, 5 through 7 says this, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word tells us over and over that not only do we run this race with these people around us, but God is right there with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He sticks closer than our brother. He's always near, and he's with us. So don't run alone. Know the character of God. And then be Rocky strong. I love Rocky. Any Rocky fans? Anybody? Yes. I'm glad. I don't know who said that, but me too. The cool thing about Rocky is, you know, every movie's the same. But you've seen one, you've seen them all, basically. But it's awesome, right? If you're a child of the 80s, there's certain movies that just, you go, oh! You know, like Rocky, Rambo, Back to the Future. Oh, yeah. See? Yeah. I watched Ferris Bueller the other day. That was funny. Anyway, moving on. So Rocky, the cool thing about Rocky is Rocky can fight through any circumstance, right? I mean, he can get his brains beat in. I mean, he can be beat to a pulp. He can fight a 500-pound Russian on steroids and still win. By the way, that was not my favorite one. I just want everybody to know that. Two was the best one. Anyway, so Rocky has this whole thing that he can fight and just, yes, you're right. And three, he can fight through any situation. Doesn't matter how big and bad the dude is. Doesn't matter how awesome he is. But he can fight through anything. Now, some of you might not have seen the very last Rocky, okay? It came out a few years back. He's a little older, but let me tell you something. After two, to me, it was the best one. And it's all because it's the whole comeback thing and all this stuff, and it's the relationship with his kid. And I want to show you real quick just a little bit of the last round of this movie, and then we're going to talk about it for a minute. Y'all watch this. What I want you to get is Rocky had been through so much junk. I mean, he had been beaten up to a bloody pulp. And his son has all these issues with him earlier because he says he's always trying to live up to his name, the Rocky Balboa name, and everybody wants him to be like his dad, but he just can never live up to that. And so they have all these issues, and they finally settle it. And then in the last round, when he gets just plastered by Mason Dixon, and he hits his knee, and you hear what he says. What is it you said to the kid? It's not how hard you can hit. It's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. It's how much you can take and keep moving forward. Get up. Get up. Get up and keep moving forward. Let me tell you something. That's what Jesus Christ is saying to all of us today. It's not how hard you can hit, because I can promise you, you're going to come up against someone in this world that can hit a whole lot harder than you can. The question is, how hard can you get hit and keep moving forward? It doesn't matter if you get knocked down. Get off the mat and keep going. It doesn't matter how hard you get hit. It doesn't matter how much you can take. Just get off the ground and go. Learn to fight no matter what. Hold on, because help is coming. I can promise you that my God is never going to leave us. He's never going to walk away from us when we're laying down, but he needs you to get up and keep going. That stressful situation that you're dealing with will not be the death of you. I'm telling you right now, church, that stress is not going to be the end of you. It will get better. I promise you. And if you can learn to pull those gloves on for one more round and say, devil, I don't care what you throw at me, I promise you, I'm going to bust you in the nose every chance I get. You may get me down, but I can promise you that at the end of the day, it's going to be your tail laying on that ground. The question is, how much can you take and keep going forward? 2 Samuel 23, 9 through 12 says this. Next in rank among the three was Eleazar, son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahuah. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines, when the entire Israelite army had fled, he killed Philistines until his hand froze to the sword. The Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army didn't return until it was time to collect the plunder. Next in the rank was Shammah, son of Agi from Harar. One time the Philistines gathered at Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils. The Israelite army fled, but Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. Let me tell you something. When your situation seems hopeless, remember Eleazar. Remember Shammah. The entire army left them, and they stood their ground and said, I'm done with running. I'm sick of it. I will not be chased by my enemies any longer. I will not be afraid of anything that my enemy throws at me. I don't care if I die with this sword in my hand. I will swing it until I can't swing it anymore. And when Eleazar finished that fight, they had to kick that sword out of his hand because he had swung it so much and so hard that his hand literally froze to the sword. The muscles and the joints and the tendons, everything froze around the handle of it because he believed in what he was fighting for so much. He believed in the cause that he had. He believed in what he was doing. And he believed that he could keep going no matter what the enemy threw at him. It's time that we remember that we can fight when it feels like we've got nothing left. We have to learn to not stop pushing through the things that are happening in our life. There was an old song that said, hold on, and I'm coming. Remember that song? Hold on, because help's coming. Keep fighting, because he's coming. Keep fighting. Hebrews 10:39. Can we put that up, Hebrews 10:39, real quick? I don't have it written down. You can probably get it faster than I can turn to it. I would say let's have a race, but I know I'll lose. I'm too much of an iPad generation. Maybe not. Hey, check that. Look, I won. I beat technology. Hebrews 10:39 says this, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Believe in what? We believe that God is good and God is holy no matter what, period. We believe that we don't run this race alone. We believe that we can fight no matter what. We believe that we can pull the sword out and swing it until our hand freezes to it. We will not shrink back. When we deal with these stressful situations that we deal with in our life, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's financial problems, whether it's sexual temptation, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's alcohol abuse, when we deal with these stressful situations in life, we keep fighting. Because if we don't keep fighting, we will shrink back and we will be destroyed. And the word says right there, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are those who believe and we are saved. We have to fight. See, think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the fire before God came to their rescue. They weren't about to go in the fire. They weren't standing at the doorway of the fire. They weren't being threatened with the fire. They were in the fire before God came to their rescue. Think about that. I'm going to finish with this. Daniel 3, verse 15 says this. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking to those three guys. He says, "I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace." Listen to this. "And then what God will be able to rescue you?" I say, I've never caught that before. Nebuchadnezzar looked them in the eyes and said, "I'm going to kill you. I will throw you in a furnace. And then what God will rescue you?" Now I can see in my mind's eye Nebuchadnezzar getting all, yeah. You know what I mean? Because you got to realize at this point, they've already not bowed once. They've already been brought before the king. And they've told the king, "I'm not going to bow down. Because I believe in the one true God." And so I can see all this stuff coming up in Nebuchadnezzar. And he's saying, "You will bow. I'm going to give you one more chance. And if you don't, then I will kill you. And then what God is going to save you?" You know? Here's the question. What God are you trusting in to get you through your stress? What God? Is it the God of Compass Bank? Is it the God of your job? Is it the God of your paycheck? Is it the God of that bottle? Is it the God of that little bag? Is it the God of sex? What God are you relying on to get you through what you're dealing with? And I wish I could stand up here and say, you know, when you come to a place and you say, "God, I'm relying on you for everything," that just like that, everything's going to get better. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never bowed. And Nebuchadnezzar did throw him in the furnace. But before he did, he turned it up 7 times hotter than what it was. And God still didn't step in before they went through it. Get that. You think it's bad, and I'm not saying this is always going to happen, but look at the situation. The situation got a whole lot worse before it got better. Whole lot worse before it got better. When the soldiers grabbed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them in, the soldiers died from being outside of the furnace because it was so hot. When they threw him in, before they threw him in, this is what they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar. Can you put Daniel 3:15 up? I'm gonna race you again. Yeah, look at you. Nice. Awesome. Listen to this. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you don't worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into the furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Now, I want you to look at verse 3:18 real quick. Oh, no, let's just keep reading. Keep reading. That's good. Go back to 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Keep going. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. This is the one I like. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Even if he doesn't, we will never bow down. That's really easy to say when you're being threatened with a pop on the hand. But when you're being threatened with death by fire, that's a whole different ballgame. I've told you guys this before, but I remember when Marcus and Amy were going through everything that happened with Amy's sickness and the disease that she got when she had her baby. And I'm not going to go into all that, but suffice it to say, Amy was, and that's Pastor Marcus's wife. She's our children's pastor here. She was at the point of death, and they didn't think she was going to make it. It was very, very touch and go for a few months. And I remember coming up to the hospital one day when Marcus and I both were living in Mobile, and I said, we walked in the door, my wife and I, and to see Amy, and her sister basically just fell on me, and she was just screaming. I mean, just bawling. She said, they're saying that we got to say our goodbyes. She's not going to make it through the day. You know, all this stuff. And of course, you know, so I go and pray with them and their family and everything. And I can't find Marcus anywhere. And Amy's sister, Ashley, says, you need to go find Marcus and tell Marcus, find out what's going on, because I think he's in denial about what's happening. So you got to understand, Marcus and Amy hadn't been married very long. Marcus had this new baby that was just a month old, maybe. And his wife was laying in this bed in intensive care and had been for weeks. And Ashley said, Marcus is in denial. So I went, and this is my best friend, man. I went and found Marcus. He was walking around the outside of the hospital. Kind of grabbed me by his shoulders. I said, how you doing, man? And I was trying to be real. He said, hey, how you doing? Everything, you know, how you handling everything? And he looked at me and with these eyes that were, I haven't seen on a lot of people. And they're filled with tears. And he grabbed me on my shoulders. He said, Shane, I know what they're saying. And I know everybody in that room thinks I'm in denial. He said, I know they're saying she's not going to last the day. But he looked at me and he said, but I can tell you, I know what my God said. My God said she's going to come through this. And then he stopped and looked at me again and he said, but even if she doesn't, my faith will not be shaken. My faith will not be shaken. Stress is awful. And Amy, she's back there teaching our kids right now. She was. She came through that, and through that, Marcus's family was saved, and they've become great Christians, and they're very involved in their church in Mobile. In fact, they were here last week with us, and you know, Amy's made the comment since then that if that's the reason that I had to go through what I went through, I would do it again. The question you have to ask yourself is this: why are you dealing with stress? Why are you going through the hard times that you're going through? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through this. They were thrown in the fire. And God didn't step in until they were in the situation. God didn't step in until the situation had gotten seven times hotter. God didn't step in until they were inside the fire. And then the king looked in and he said, "Didn't we throw three people in?" And they said, "Yes, king." "Why?" He said, "Because there's four and one looks like the Son of God." The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar called for him and they brought him out of the fire, three of them. And they didn't even smell like smoke. And that day, the entire nation turned their eyes to God. That king was saved, and he said, "From this point forward, we will worship no other god than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He's still in the fire. Three came out. Three went in, three came out. Fourth man was in the fire with him. He's in your fire today. He's in your fire today. You recording this, Dave? Because that just popped in my head. That was pretty good. He's in your fire. Whatever you need, he's there for you today. All of us in this room are here for you today. Whatever stressful situation you're dealing with, I'm not telling you it's going to end today. But I'm telling you that there's going to be a point today that you're going to realize we're walking with you. God is walking with you. God is good. He's holy. He has not forgotten about you. He wants you to fight. He wants you to remember that you've got people fighting with you. You know, one thing I love about Rocky, when he gets up off the mat, and it happens in every movie. Rocky, 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 right? You know, Hebrews says there's... Yeah, come on, Ray. That's what I'm talking about. The Bible says, I believe it's in Hebrews, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. It cheers us on. So you fall, and just like that whole crowd was screaming, "Rocky, Rocky." Man, in the spiritual realms, the angels, the people that have gone before you, Jesus himself is standing cheering you on. Get up, come on, get up. You got this, you got this. Come on, you can do this. It's like if any of you lift weights or do anything like that, or you run, or and you've gotten to that last set, you know, and you, it's everything you can do to get that. I'm going to tell you, I'm weak in my chest and my upper arms. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And Marcus and I work out together sometimes, and man, I'll go to push that last thing, and I'm like, you know, and struggling and telling on myself. But, man, when you have that person that's going, "Come on, you can do it. You got this. You got this. Come on, you can do it." And then when you realize that you don't have it, and you can't push that bar up anymore, and those hands come in, and they don't take it, but they just push just a little bit, and it helps you get through what you're doing. And that's probably a stupid thing, but the point is, God is there to help you get through what you're going through. He's there to lift that weight, the little bit that you need lifted, to get you where you're at. Pastor Mike says all the time, one of the biggest misconceptions we have in church is that God won't give you anything that you can't handle. That is a lie. God will give you tons that you can't handle. Because if you can handle anything, why do you need God? So the point we need to come to today is to remember that God is holy and he's good. To remember that we don't run this thing alone and that we fight. When we don't feel like it, period. We get up and we keep moving.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.